Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The Grinch was actually on to something. The main character in Dr. Seuss's classic cartoon and I have a lot in common. I feel simpatico with him even before his redemptive conversion upon the epiphany of the true meaning of Christmas. My trigger is the day after Thanksgiving, when the mainstream financial media begins obsessing about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, days on the calendar that worship the consumer and their bad habit of overbuying crap they don't need and can't afford. This is the time when CNBC becomes intensely ebullient with live reports about the lines and crowds at various retailers. For them, a joyous holiday season involves the cheering on as much spending as possible. To this point, the Wall Street cheerleaders that run the CNBC website had this headline over the weekend, quote, "Black Friday online sales top $9 billion in new record," close quote. Overall, online sales for Black Friday were up 2.3% year over year. So allow me to rewrite their headline on CNBC. This is what it should have said. A faltering U.S. economy, along with near record high inflation, sends inflation-adjusted Black Friday spending down by 5.5% year over year. Okay, but if you used a more accurate inflation metric other than the massage garbage you get from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, spending fell by 18% year over year. In other words, the amount of items purchased at the start of the Christmas season is actually plunging. Only when counting inflated dollars do you find a very small increase. Now, to be fair, CNBC did at least say this. Quote, "Buy now, pay later payments increased by 78% compared with the past week, beginning November 19th, as consumers continue to grapple with high prices and inflation," close quote. The truth is, consumers are either buying things using a record amount of credit card debt or promises to pay in the future, or have just resorted to theft. According to the National Retail Federation, retail crime is up 26.5% this year. Does this jive with Wall Street's narrative of a healthy consumer that is flush with cash? And in case you think everyone is just buying things in person instead of buying things online, in-person sales were up just 2.9% or down 17% in real inflation-adjusted terms. So let's talk a little bit about the portfolio. I just had to get that little bit of that Black Friday BS off of my head. You know, CNBC always tries, and they're not alone, they always try to tell you how great the holiday shopping season has gotten started off to. And it's just misleading, dangerous to your portfolio, and it's a lie. So more about the portfolio. Base metals and energy are shorts in sectors 1 and 2 of my inflation, deflation, and economic cycle portfolio. Sectors 1 and 2 are, as a reminder for a lot of the new subscribers that we have, is one where we have disinflation and deflation and recession and depression. So disinflation, recession in sector 2 and deflation and depression in sector 1. This was a tough one to hang on to this year with energy prices surging due to the Russia-Ukraine war. But oil is now down on the year and has plummeted 40% since June. Copper, by the way, is down about 24%. But gold is different. Gold is not an energy trade. It's not a base metal trade. It's not an industrial trade. Gold is real money and a real currency. It is a hedge against a recession where nominal and real interest rates are falling. This is what the back-tested five-sector inflation, deflation, and economic cycle investment spectrum tells us to do when the rates of inflation and economic growth are falling. Sell industrials. Sell commodities. All commodities except precious metals. Sell high beta stocks. Sell no earning stocks. And buy bond and bond proxies, utilities, gold, be long the US dollar, and short the market, especially, actually only in sector one. By the way, energy stocks are up 60% year to date and is the only sector of the market that has a positive return. Meanwhile, as I just stated, oil is down on the year and has been crashing since June as the global recession intensifies. Now, the chart-chasing charlatans are about to get crushed because they are all hiding out in this one very overcrowded trade, which is the energy trade. Now, admittedly, we missed this unique run-up in the energy sector because we don't buy industrial metals or energy during a economic slowdown or a recession. Of course, we don't get everything right, but we did profit from the short positions that we own. We did profit from being long the dollar. We did manage to get defensive in the portfolio in very late 2021. So we did get a lot of things right. But even gold, so we owned a lot of gold at the start of the year, sold most of it, but it's not been working so far this year. Despite the fact, now gold has not worked despite the fact that growth has been anemic and the first half of 2022 had negative GDP growth. This is because inflation is only now starting to disinflate from a record high level. And since bond yields were in a bubble, extremely high levels of inflation offset the slowing growth dynamic, causing real yields to rise. Which is kryptonite for gold. Rising real interest rates are kryptonite for gold. Falling real interest rates are the sweet spot for the precious metal. Now, it might surprise you to know that I'm buying gold now, if you're not a client of Penta Portfolio Strategies. After getting out of most of the position, again, as I said earlier this year, when the growth rate of inflation was soaring. So why did you not own gold when inflation was soaring, but now are buying gold now, increasing the portfolio's position, allocation to it, when inflation is coming down on a second derivative basis? After all, doesn't the deep state of Wall Street bombard you with the BS that gold is a hedge against inflation? No. A rising rate of inflation does not always lead to a gold bull market. Gold bull markets occur when inflation is rising faster than nominal interest rates are rising. In other words, real interest rates would be falling in that dynamic. Gold, by the way, also thrives and even thrives better when nominal rates are falling absent a liquidity crisis, and I'll touch on that in a second. Because that is also when real rates happen to be falling. Now you know why gold loves recessions and deflations even more than inflation. Which, by the way, those recessions and deflation, that is where we are heading next. There are also very high odds of a liquidity crisis in the first half of next year. And that is when you have to sell everything. We are not anywhere near that yet. But we will be on high alert for that to occur because that is when gold usually hits an air pocket and we'll have to sell that position for a truncated period of time. And so you ask, why do I think the U.S. and global economy is heading into a sharp recession and a liquidity crisis? The short summary is that money supply growth has crashed into negative territory for the first time, and it has crashed at the fastest rate of change in history due to the most hawkish regime of central banking ever. This is now devastating asset prices, which are crashing from the highest valuation levels on record, and will now lead to a massive reverse wealth effect that will eviscerate GDP and earnings per share growth. That's the next phase of the bear market. The consumer savings rate is now one of the lowest since records began being kept in 1959. Half of Americans have no savings and are living paycheck to paycheck, as they are struggling to service a record $18.6 trillion of household debt, up $3 trillion in the past 4 years. The almighty American consumer is on the ropes, and so is the economy. However, since those maniac money printers have only recently managed to slightly alleviate a condition of intractable inflation and record high inflation, there can be no immediate and reflexive repeat of zero interest rate policies and quantitative easing. It's going to be a tight regime of a Fed funds rate near 5% and $95 billion of quantitative tightening from now in well into next year. We will not do a repeat of a reflexive return to ZERP and QE, as has been the case during every past recession and bear market. Powell made this clear, very clear, at his speech today at the Brookings Institute, where he reiterated that history warns us, very clearly warns us, of the danger of prematurely loosening monetary policy. And he will hold the Fed funds rate at a restrictive level for a long period of time. However, he did spew out some blather about the softish landing of the U.S. economy still being a possibility, which was enough to produce the typical knee-jerk rally in the headline reading algos. Nevertheless, it doesn't change the fact that the Fed is hiking rates, no longer at 75 basis point clips, but at 50 basis point clips come December, and burning its balance sheet, which is high-powered money, as the economy is rapidly deteriorating. Pento Portfolio Strategy's IDEC model helped us steer clear of the carnage so far this year, and it should continue to keep us out of harm's way as the profit recession unfolds over the next few months. That should set us up nicely for the real Powell panic pivot as the chaos on Wall Street hits a crescendo sometime around the second quarter of 2023.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.